crank it up once more. Welcome back to another episode of Michael's Motor Island, powered by Pennzoil, where motor oil is in motion. From the track to the road, Pennzoil is the most trusted motor oil brand in America and the official motor oil of the NTT IndyCar Series. Everyone out there, brace yourself. We got a Formula Drift driver. Just the name alone makes you rock in your seat and say, whoa, watch out. Hey, we have today James Dean. And I know when you hear James Dean, that's cool. but James is Formula Drift driver, and because I'm going to let him explain, but he is the Formula Drift driver for AutoZone RTR Mustang. And if you guys keep up with some of the Formula Drift around the country, you will see James from time to time. So let's get started. James, thank you for being on Michael's Motor Alley today. How are you doing?
It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you. I'm doing really good. We're just back in Ireland. I live in Ireland, even though we compete in Formula Drift in the US.
Yes.
Just back from the final round of the FD Championship last weekend in Irwindale Speedway, where we managed to finish with a third place on the podium after a very eventful weekend.
I watched it, I tell you, wow.
It was a very fun event, and Chelsea also won the championship in his Pennzoil Mustang RTR. Yep. So brilliant. Yes, yeah. Brilliant weekend for the team, and a brilliant way to finish off our season. So just recovering from that, so a little bit of jet lag, first day home, but it's a pleasure to have this chat with you.
Oh, man, thank you so much for being on. Oh, man, James, well, we're going to just go right straight to how you got started. So, James, like you say, you all the way over in Ireland, where Ireland has a motorsports area there. So we know you had to get started big time in there. How did you get started in I guess, bitten by the car, the speed and all that? When did all that start?
Yeah, so I guess I had no choice almost. my dad and my two uncles used to build rally cars and race in rally in Ireland back in the day.
Yes. Yeah.
So my dad had a full-on business building like the likes of old 1980s and 1970s Ford Escorts, all rear-wheel drives. He used to build them from the ground up, do all the engine build work, and a lot.
Whoa. James, no wonder you've been
family with
the rally scene in Europe, in that area. I was bitten by the rally, and real fast, because I like to jump in. I was so bitten, I ended up, and of course it wasn't the same type, I ended up getting an Audi, a mid-80s Audi GT Quattro 5-cylinder turbo. Of course, in the U.S. market, it's longer, but the ones that were over in Europe, short wheelbase, Audi.
Yeah, the Group B cars.
The Group B's.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Great. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All where they came in and smashed. They pretty much smashed everything, and boy. But when you say Riley, I see why, James, you were bitten, because it was unbelievable those times. And even now it's great, but those beasts. Oh, anyway, go ahead. I get crazy thinking about it. I still look at some of the videos on YouTube because it's unbelievable.
It never gets old. It never gets old.
Wow.
Especially the Group B era, where it was totally off the charts, with regulations were really loose, and you know, the health and safety was not what it is today. So it was crazy to watch with all the spectators on the stages and everything. And coming from Ireland, it's very similar. Like, there's a huge rally following here to this day. I'm the youngest in my family by 10 years, so I got two older brothers, two older sisters, and
yes.
my older brothers were rallying when I was like 7, 8, and 9 years old. So I was watching them and helping them prep the car, whether it was cleaning or changing tires, or helping
change.
Out
that's
load
heaven,
off the.
Man. That's heaven right there.
Yeah.
You're right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I always thought it was going to be rallying that I would get into until the first ever drift competition was held in Ireland back in 2002.
Yes,
and I was
yes.
just 10 years old watching my brother from Ireland, and he managed to win that event. And I fell in love with the sport because it was everything I wanted to see in a rally. You know, like when we used to go watch spectate at rallies, I wanted to see the tightest corner to see a car go sideways. So when there was an event all about car sliding, I fell in love. Started watching when I was 10 and got obsessed with the sport. I was playing
yes.
it on PlayStation and things like that, practicing on the games. And I started competing when I was just before 15.
And, whoa, just before 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
You started young. And like you said, you had... I noticed the younger kids, like I said, I'm old school, and seemed like the younger kids that have gotten into the PlayStation and the almost like a simulator when you're almost already mentally already ready. It's just all you need to do is just get out there and experience the real thing. And you seem like you already got a leg up already.
and back when I was a kid, it's not what Sims are today. So it was just like a TV and a joystick. So you're doing all the steering with your fingers. Where now you see kids get involved in drifting and they have a full-on simulator, which I have.
Yes.
I have one there.
Whoa! I see it!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But, so you strap in and just...
You strap just in and go.
In.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah. So it's unbelievable for... new people starting off in the sport nowadays, because the experience you can get from a modern simulator is really impressive.
James, so you started off in rally, and then drifting. And if you could just take us through briefly, if it's not too much trouble, on how, you know, from there to all the way over to the United States. driving for one of the biggest drifting Formula Drift teams in the U.S.
Yeah, it's not the biggest drift team in the world, I think. I've been very, very lucky to travel the entire world with drifting and experience it in so many countries. And to be honest, the RTR team is definitely the pinnacle of the sport worldwide. And it's a pleasure to have reached that point in my career from starting at the very bottom. My first drift car was a Ford Sierra, which is a European 2-liter, 120 horsepower. I bought the car for like $200. Now be at the level we're at, where the cars are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And
it's really cool to have started at the bottom and worked my way to the top. Basically, when I was 15, I competed in my first events. I managed to get my pro license when I was 15. And a couple of months later, I managed to win my first pro event when I was 15. So I beat my own brother.
Your brother, yes.
Yeah. He was like, what? So if I was 15, he was 27 or 28 at the time. And it was a real journey. And as I was the youngest ever to do it at the time, partners started coming on to support me and try to make my dream become a reality. And it kind of escalated pretty quickly. The year after, when I was 16, a tire company came on board and they wanted me to compete in the European Championships. So
yes.
I was competing in two full championships in 1 year, and I managed to win the two championships. So I won the Irish Championship and the European Championship when I was 16 years old. And at the same time, I got my first invite to compete in Formula Drift, because that was back in 2008 when they had their... Red Bull World Drifting Championship event in Long Beach, California.
Yes.
So That was an absolute dream because I always watched the American scene, and that's where the biggest teams were. There was professional drivers. It was like the top level. And from all of us in Europe, that was the dream to one day make it in America. So that was my first shot at going over there. We shipped the car over. My family and close friends all flew over for the event. We managed to qualify. And we actually had a crash in the top 32, so we're eliminated in a one more time battle with another international driver. So the dream was stopped there a little bit, but we went back to Europe, focused on our skill a bit more, and we came back briefly in 2010, competed in four rounds where we managed to get to the top eight a couple of times. And then again went back to Europe, won a few more championships in Europe, and then came back in 2017 with a new team from Europe, and I managed to win the Formula Drift Championship in 2017, 18, and 19.
What, James? You are good.
not too bad.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
You pat yourself on the back a little bit.
There you go. Wow. We've experienced it all, I would say, like from starting at the bottom to trying to come over to the US, try to make it, didn't work out, go back, try to get better, come back again. And the last time when we did come back in 2017, I felt like we were really ready, and we had a few years of domination, and it was just my biggest lifelong dream come true. So yeah. And to say how I got with RTR right now, so we were planning to come back in 2020, but when COVID came, the team I was driving for was European based, and basically we couldn't get back to the US with COVID, so the team pulled out of Formula Drift, which meant I pulled out of FD, and we're competing in the European side the last couple of years. But I was having a conversation in the background with Vaughn and the RTR team to see if we could make something happen. And then this year it was able to fall into place where we could jump on board with AutoZone and Pennzoil and all the amazing partners that managed to make it happen to bring us back out. And it's been an absolutely dream year. Driving a brand new Ford Mustang RTR, and totally new team, new car for me to drive. My first time competing with V8 nitrous power, so many things to learn. But we ended up finishing in the championship in fifth place. We had a couple of podiums, and it's been a really, really solid first season with a new team. So I'm very happy.
James, come right in. And like you said, one season. We haven't even gotten into 2024. And my goodness, I can't wait to see you in action next year. Oh, my goodness.
I'm excited. Especially, you know, it takes a season to get really comfortable with the car and all the different tracks. Just. So now I have that experience, and we can make some changes in the off season to suit my driving style a little bit more, and come back next year stronger. And
definitely,
yeah, it's exciting times.
It is. My thing, I don't know why I'm worried about this part of it, James. James, are you going to be like flying back and forth from Ireland? Are you going to maybe hang out? Because, you know, by the time you get over here, you'll be sitting in the Mustang. I'm just a little tired.
Have a guess how many flights I've done this year.
Oh, James, I'm gonna say, let me see the season. No, knowing you, from what I see, you probably have done at least 10 to 15 or so, maybe.
Okay, so I compete in European events as well, and we have different events going on over here. Then we have testing, we have demos. I have taken, as of yesterday, 72 flights this year.
James, what? James, how much coffee are you drinking? How much caffeine do you, James, how do you do it? You know, hey, you are a young man, so I would look at it this way. You're enjoying what you're doing. The adrenaline is running. I would probably be doing the same thing. Hey, get it. But the thing is, James, I'm thinking about you. Run over here, jump into your RTR Mustang. Then you go back over and jump into you jump into like an Escort or over in Europe. What are you driving there?
We have a few different cars here, so yes. They're all a bit older than the Mustang, but we have the BMW E92 M3. That's one of our competition cars. Then we have multiple Nissan Silvia, like the 240 SX, basically.
Yes, yes.
S14s and S15s. Then I have a four-rotor Mazda RX-7, which sounds unbelievable. Revs
with a large turbo.
Actually we have an NA, so on ITVs, so it sounds unbelievable. It revs to 11,000 RPM and it's so loud. It's like an old F1 car. It's just incredible.
That's loud.
Jay,
let me ask you this, since you're part of our Pinzol family, is what would you happen to know who has his bright green Mazda RX-7, Johnny Grunwald? Have you ever
years ago.
Because if you got a second, I talk with him all the time.
That's cool.
I just happen, because he's part of our family of folks.
Yeah.
See, James, I will have you on the wall here in just a little while.
Absolutely.
Because, everybody,
send something to you.
Yes, I enjoy who's part of our motorsports division, man. I tell you, love it. So my goodness, from what you're telling me, James, because I am floored, you are all over the place, all sorts of cars, European, Japanese, American Iron. Amazed.
I just love it. I love the diversity, the challenge of driving something new every weekend, new tracks. You know, I'm just trying to live my childhood dream. And as you said, it does sometimes get a bit tiring, but you know, you have to just pinch yourself and remind yourself, look, this, I never even realized it would get to this level when I was a kid.
You're living the dream. You're living what you dearly, I look at it this way, what you dearly, dearly love.
Yeah. Absolutely. Goodness. And you know, it doesn't come easy. You have to be extremely passionate to get to this point. You have to make a lot of sacrifices in life and put other things aside to chase your dream.
Chase your dreams. Yes.
I've no regrets. Just keep on going for it and see how far we can take it.
Wow. You see yourself doing this way in the next, I tell you, now we are living longer. As humans, can you see yourself doing this way in your 50s or 60s? If you think about, people are still doing it. Yes, that's not a problem.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I'm 32. I'm drifting 17 years this year. And I would say I'll definitely do another 10 years.
Wow.
Definitely another 10 years. So
You will be, because look at you, 1 year, how competitive. So you're going to be competitive, but I'm thinking, how do you hang up the helmet?
I don't know if I could. So I'll give you an example. At the weekend in Irwindale, I actually had a crash right before qualifying on our last lap before qualifying. The guy chasing me crashed into me. And he hit my front wheel, which sent us straight into the wall. We climbed the wall, like I was in the air, a few feet off the ground, in the air, biggest crash I ever had. And I landed, but I damaged my shoulder. And my shoulder is not in the best shape right now. But I thought I was out, and the car was absolutely in really bad shape, but the RTR team got stuck into the car immediately. I went and got medical attention, and we know nothing was broken. Maybe had a dislocated shoulder and relocated again, reset in the crash. So I was in a lot of pain. But we went out about 90 minutes later, and we managed to qualify in eighth position. I was in pain while doing it, and then I had the night to sleep in it, and I woke up Saturday morning in more pain again, and I was really genuinely thinking, I don't think I can do this. Like I couldn't raise my hand 6 inches higher than my waist, and we got to the track. I missed most of practice and got to the track. I sat myself into the car, tried turning the wheel, and the pain was intense. And I thought, there's no way. But then I was listening to everyone out there competing, doing practice, and I was like, I've been the last two or three weeks preparing for this event. I had fans that flew over from Ireland to support me, and so many people wanting me to do it, and I just had to say,
you just have to
somehow. I managed to end up finishing third place, and I didn't think that.
And you still did third place in with a shoulder in pretty bad condition.
All right,
Superman.
So that just shows it's very easy to say you're going to stop doing something until you're there and you have to stop. And that's the thing. I think I would find it extremely difficult to walk away from this sport, because every single day when I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I think about, and it's the last thing I think about at night. You know, it's like, what's next?
James, you know, as a fan, because I am right there, even though I'm behind the scenes with our motorsports, but I am like, I geek out. I'm like one of the biggest fans, and especially to see you guys in person and in action, it blows you away. Yeah. I remember the first time I went to a race, and again, I was heavily into drag racing on the East Coast of the U.S. My first car that I was running was a 69 Camaro, but I was engrossed with the sound, the smell of rubber on a drag strip, and that had me engrossed. But then I kind of love a little road course. They call it an autocross and a road course, and I used to run that Audi Quattro. And the handling was unbelievable. I had a couple other cars. I got to tell you, James, I had like an old 911. And I tell you, a good one that was a pretty good roast was a 914. I had a 914. That mid-engine setup was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yes. So well balanced.
So, kind of got in and out of that. That's why I tell people all the time, once you're bitten, it's going to always be in your blood for the rest of your life, no matter how old you get. You may not be able to get in there and shift gears but you still, because even to this day, here I am now, I have a Mark One and Mustang Mark One, and that but I don't go out. Awesome. I tell you one thing, James, I don't do what I did in my younger days. You know, now it's just, you know, I kind of cruise around in it, and got a turbocharged Cadillac coupe that I have. But, you know, it's still, I get out there and rev the engine a little bit, you know, feel that, smell the fuel.
Exactly. And I'm one as well who falls in love with the cars. So I've been lucky enough to, you know, when it was time for a new car or develop something new, I've always managed to hold on to the old car, because I feel like they're like my children, because so much sentimental value built up, and I can sit into any one of those cars I have here, and it brings back memories.
The memories, like you see behind me, memories that I still can't get rid of, the small ones.
It's brilliant.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Since you're a car guy, what is, if you could get What is the card that you would like to have that if you, hey, cost is no problem. Just, hey, the car I just have to have, if I could get, like, pluck your finger and a genie will have the car right there. What car would that? It might be a couple of them. But what would be your ultimate car?
Yes, it's a very hard question to answer.
It is.
I think for so many people, but I have to stick with what I always wanted from when I was probably a bit younger.
Yes.
Even though I'm actually getting very close to one now. So my partner, Becky, my dream car was always a 911 930 Turbo. I just absolutely loved that shape of car, the sound, how raw it is. And my partner, Becky, actually managed to buy one a couple of years ago. So she has one. So I've been lucky enough to be able to drive it and not have to worry about paying for it. I don't know, is that winning or what? But
you're winning. Oh my goodness.
But,
that's cool.
Absolutely love that car. But now that she has that, I think I'd love to have like a 964 Turbo, just so we could have both of them. Yeah. But I think they're a really cool car. Obviously the modern day 911s are insane. Like the new GT3 RS is unbelievable. Stuff like that. But
James, I am blown away on the new versions of them. And like I said, again, I've had three, 914, 911, had an 83 911. Oh my goodness. And the last one I had, was a few years ago. It's been about, fortunately a head gasket blew. And I said, you know, I love the car, but I don't think I love the cost that's going to cost me to try to fix it or get it. It was I throw it out there. Actually, I got up there. Oh, right behind this, it was that one. I had a 928, but this the last one was a 968.
Okay.
Which was a good, you know, very even transmission in the back, water cool in the front. Not a bad vehicle. I got, but you know, I still say a 911. I did, and you know, you might can jump on this. I remember taking the 911. Around a road course, and I'm gonna tell you, I could not swing that car around too much because I didn't get used to the engine on the, you know, the back part of the weight swinging around. So I wasn't, I tell people I could not do that the way I did with the Audi. So
opposites almost. Like the Audi engine is almost hanging out over the front headlights, and totally opposite with the 911.
I whipped it around a couple of times. I probably needed a year of practice if I want to come around the corner.
And if it rains, there is no second chances. As the second it breaks away, you need to be really quick to hold on to it for sure.
James, in the wet, the first time I lost grip in the rain with that, I said, I start saying prayers. I said, thank goodness it wasn't no cars around and I wasn't moving that. But it's amazing on how, again, you really have to be able to drive and handle that type of car when you, well, just because of the engine location, it's just not the same.
Different.
So you practically get back to your dream car. You practically at least get a chance to go jumping.
I love how raw it is, you know. I love how raw it is.
Oh man, I remember the Webers.
Even the gear shifts, like you can't shift fast, or else you'll damage the transmission. I think the synchros are extremely sensitive in the transmission. So like you're pulling hard, and then you have a long shift between each gear, and the gears are very long as well because it's a 4-speed. But it's laggy. It sounds awesome. The sound, just
unbelievable.
It's a real raw, you know,
it's 80s
car.
And what blows me away, and I tell everybody, we're talking about, you're looking at an air-cooled, you know, Ferdinand Porsche design that's somewhat been around for ages, and the performance that you could get out of those engines, and easy to work on. It was very easy to do a tune-up. I did have a problem doing on the 914, trying to squeeze that mid-engine and squeeze down and do a time on that, and get the points. Yeah. But you know, it's all good. It was fun. Wow, I gotta tell you now, James. We're looking forward for next year. Anything big and exciting that you expect for next year? Because again, we already know you are a globetrotter. So you're everywhere, back and forth. But anything since the year is practically here, 2024, can you believe it? Anything we're expecting and looking forward for next year?
Time is absolutely flying. I can't believe how fast it's going by. Yes. So for next year, still coming back to Formula Drift. Yes. I'm really excited about that, especially second full season with the RDR team and second full season driving a Mustang. So I feel like we can really push for that championship and really challenge the top guys. I think I'm going to be on a mission. I feel confident after finishing on such a strong note, especially with fifth place in the championship, and we were actually really close to being in the top three. So it was.
I hear you, James, because you're right.
Outside of that, we're also talking about potentially doing some Europe's. Other than that, we're talking, it's early stages, but we're having a chat about doing some events outside of the US with Mustang as well.
Yes.
So let's see how that, but in general, still looking like a very busy season ahead for next year, which I'm very excited about. Still before the end of this year, once my shoulder is up for it, we have the SEMA show, maybe a trip to Japan. Yes. And it's been really positive.
Oh, that's great. Well, I tell you what, James, for our audience out there, where can they follow you at? Do you have like an Instagram or something like that for our audience to keep up with you?
So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Pretty much everything, TikTok, and it's all under James Dean 130. So 130 and Dean with an E.
Yes, with an E. Yeah, definitely.
James Dean 130.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. Well, I tell you, James, it's been great. It's been great gabbing with you a while. I certainly do appreciate it and hope to maybe talk to you sometime next year on your journey all over. And everyone out there, you have to keep up with James, because he's exciting. He's part of RTR drifting Formula Drift team here. You can't go wrong with this, with the group, and along with James. It's super. So James, thank you again for hanging out here at Michael's Thank Motor you. Alley, and you Been be safe, and hope the shoulder get better. We will talk to you soon. Everyone out there, take care, keep the motor oil flowing, and I will talk to you soon. Take care. Bye bye. Thanks for keeping the motor oil in motion with me. Stay safe. I will see you next time.
You've been listening to Michael's Motor Alley, presented by Pennzoil. Michael's Motor Alley podcast is available for listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just hit the subscribe or follow button to stay up to date on new podcast episodes. This podcast has been produced by Pennzoil, and the views and opinions on this podcast are those of the people featured and not of Shell or its affiliates. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.